is wonderful to be here with you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you would please stand, we're going to begin by singing The Solid Rock. This time, we'd like to take a few minutes and greet one another. Thank you.
Good morning. So you're making your way back to your seats? Slowly maybe, but that's okay. It's always good to greet one another. We have a few announcements from our bulletin. First, prayer time reminder, even without Awana this week, we're subbing our prayer time Thursday, and we will also be continuing prayer time over the summer. Also, April calendar, for if you want to know when everyone's birthdays are. But speaking of what I kind of already mentioned, we don't have Awana this week for spring break, so Thursday, April 11th, we're back. And then actually, we end the Awana year April 25th. So that once we get back from spring break, it always goes really fast. But that'll be over soon, so looking for that. Bite to Eat sign-up, we're having that next week. So if you want to help bring something, the dates are in the back, but it's April 7th next week. Our Good Friday service, Friday, April 19th at Chester Gospel Church, so at 7 p.m., that's just in a couple weeks. Be ready for that. And I don't know if I got a sign-up sheet ready, but Easter breakfast, Resurrection Sunday. The breakfast is at 9 a.m., and we're having one Easter service at 10:30. So think about something that you'd want to bring for our potluck breakfast. It's always a good time of fellowship, and be ready for that. It's also coming very soon. So with that, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer before the offering. Lord, we lift up to you praise for the blessings you have given us, for the chance to come into your house and fellowship as your family and your children. Lord, I pray that we would be worshiping you and that our hearts would be directed towards you to give you the honor, praise, and glory you deserve. Lord, we are thankful that you have died for us and made us into your family, brought us into your family. We know that we don't deserve it, but we are thankful all the same. Lord, I pray that as we do as we routinely do, as we worship you this morning as part of our weekly day of rest, that it would be one part of that blessed relationship to you and drawing us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Would join in singing. Our next song is going to be "The Lord is My Salvation."
Walls. I'll see the dawn of the rising sun.
This time, if you join in singing, "Be Thou My Vision."
Thank you.
Good morning. If you'd like to join me for the scripture reading, we'll be in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ's at his coming.
Next song would be There is Joy in the Lord. I think I may have left that out of the slideshow. Let's see if we can get that here real quick. It'd also be in the chorus book, number 186. Singing holy, holy, holy.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning.
Well, amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer before the message. Father, you are holy, and it's not what we think of first always, but it is your holiness from which everything else we know flows. It all flows together, Lord. Your love is a result of your holiness. The death of Jesus and resurrection to save us flows out of your holiness. And it's your holiness that helps those who are so sinful like us reverence, worship you for who you are. Lord, as we open your word this morning, may we still hold you in our own sight as holy, as you have blessed us so much and given us the blessings which even Jesus had. May we remember still that you are holy. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 20-23, the scripture reading, if you didn't get a chance to join me. Last week we talked about being crucified with Christ, and then this week it's raised with Christ. So it isn't officially a part one and part two format, but they work together well that way. We talked about, again, as I said last week, being crucified with Christ. That means that we, all of us who are Christians, in a spiritual sense, die. We put our old life or our old self to death so that we can have a new life, the one in Jesus, the spiritual life that we're supposed to live, pleasing in his sight. And we can live this new spiritual life in Jesus and live for him. And that's one of our primary aims as believers. That's one of our purposes, to glorify him by living for him. And that is possible because we have been crucified with Jesus Christ. But now we're going to consider what it means that we are raised with Christ. We are 3 weeks away from Easter Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday. And we know that for us as Christians, Our life as believers began when we were crucified with him. And in similar with Christ, he was crucified on Good Friday. And he died a real death to pay for our sins and to bring redemption But then after his crucifixion, he didn't stay dead, he rose. And for us, we know that if we're crucified with Christ, we are raised with him too. Jesus had the power and authority to do this for himself. In John 10, 17 and 18, he said, "The Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." Christ had the power and authority to do that. We do the same, but not through our own strength, but if we are with him, crucified with Christ, raised with Christ. And again, before we get to the main portion of the passage, just like I mentioned last week with being crucified with Christ, this only happens, this only occurs, it only applies to Christians, those who believe in Jesus. A person must be saved, they must be born again for these attributes or traits to apply to them. There is no resurrection to eternal life for those who have not trusted in Jesus as their Savior. You must believe in him. As John 3:3 says, you must be born again. But if you are a believer in Jesus, you can be confident today that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead after his crucifixion, so too will those be who are in him, who have believed in him. So in 1 Corinthians 15, it says in verse 20, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. It's interesting, he says first fruits are for those who are asleep or dead. We find ourselves again in 1 Corinthians 15, a place so many have turned over the years when they're studying the resurrection. And we find there that Jesus died and was crucified first. Both. He died and was crucified, then he was raised, all of that first. Then all who come after, who believe in him, are spiritually crucified in Christ in order that we may have a real physical resurrection. Paul explains here in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ must rise first. Christ has been raised, as he said, the first fruits, the first. Christ had to be the inaugurator of resurrection from the dead, the first to do it. And there's a lot of meaning there when we think about what Jesus rising first means for us. Before we could ever have, as Christians, the hope of a resurrection, before we would even think of it, we know that Jesus had to rise first. Jesus already has risen from the dead. He did so nearly 2,000 years ago. His did come first, and his previews what will come for us. But there is no hope of a resurrection for us without Jesus rising first. And that's one of those facts that when you consider that with everything else you believe, if there's no hope of a resurrection for us without Jesus rising first, and it's not, then that means that Jesus had to have risen from the dead. Obviously, we believe that, but essentially, if you believe there's a future for you in eternity in heaven, somewhere where we go when we die, then you must believe also that Jesus rose from the dead. There's no room, there's no space to believe there's a glorious future in heaven for anybody without also knowing for a fact that Jesus Christ did not stay dead. That he died, yes, but he didn't stay dead. The only way followers of Jesus have a future in heaven, the only way we could ever have a resurrection, is if Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, our Savior, is already there because of his own resurrection. Jesus comes first. His resurrection from the dead had to happen first. And then after, his followers, his disciples, us, Christians, we will be raised too. And again, that means that his resurrection had to have happened. A date and a time. It can't be make-believe. It can't be a metaphor. It's not some type of literary symbol. When we say real, we say it's a real resurrection. We're talking that somebody died and then rose from the dead. And it's as real as any event that any of us would have seen on a daily basis. We have complete confidence now. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have complete confidence that if we believe in Jesus, if we trust in him, that our resurrection will be true too. It is a great promise, and it is a matter also of faith. Indeed, our faith hangs on it, because we're waiting for that resurrection of the dead. All of us here are alive. Not one of us has lived through it yet. We believe it will happen, but it's in the future. And because it hasn't happened yet, it is a matter of faith on our part. But our faith isn't blind and in the dark. Knowing that Jesus really did rise from the dead isn't there to eliminate faith. It's there to strengthen and fortify our faith. That when we have our moments of doubt, we can turn and look back at that real event in history and say, Jesus died on the cross. The Bible says we're crucified with him. Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible says we will resurrect with him. The first fruits. First, Christ our Savior, he rises. Then after that, we who are his followers also. But only because we are in him. Our resurrection guaranteed, made sure for certain, because he had one first. And it talks about that, verses 21 and 22. It says, since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. In Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. Jesus talked about his own resurrection in John 10. In John 5, he spoke of the resurrection of all of humanity. And he explains that this is true. He said that there would be a time coming. In John 5, he says this, when all will rise, those who followed Christ to a blessed resurrection, and those who did not to a resurrection of eternal death. All people do. All people rise. All people live forever. But it's only a resurrection to eternal life in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus do you resurrect to eternal life. If a person is still in Adam, it's not that kind of resurrection. It's a resurrection of judgment. So all in Christ are made alive, all in Adam die. And that's the choice he's saying, that all people, and I mentioned this before, all people are either in Adam or in Christ. And then in Adam all die, but in Christ all should be made alive. His resurrection, his death, that's what saves us. And it is our only option. When we consider that being in Adam means death, and salvation has been offered in Jesus Christ, yet at the same time, I mentioned already, we walk by faith and not by sight. The historical facts inform our faith and strengthen it, but we don't know until it happens. We're still living by faith. But all of us who are trusting in him, our faith is only in Christ. There's no backup plan. There's no insurance policy. Jesus either rose from the dead, and he will save all of us who have believed in him for that, or he didn't. And if Jesus did not rise from the dead, we are very foolish. Paul famously wrote about this earlier in 1 Corinthians 15. And he said, starting in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 15, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And we talked about that. Christ had to be raised first. So he said, if there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is vain, and your faith also is in vain. And we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Jesus, whom he did not raise, if the dead are not raised. If the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. And those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men to be most pitied. So there's no backup plan. There's no insurance. We believe only in Christ. And we're all in on that, as they say. You know, Paul doesn't even argue there. He doesn't address the fact of sin. He assumes that his readers will know that sin is there. The fact of sin is evident in everyday life. There's no arguing or disputing it. And sin means death. Sin did enter the world through one man, and sin does mean death. And if that's our position, we've all sinned, and sin means death, then we need a Savior, and we're hoping in the resurrection of Jesus, but if the dead have not been raised, we have no purpose for our faith. We need a way out. You know, so we know, believe in Jesus to be saved. Yes. He saves those who trust in him. He gives resurrection from the dead to those who trust in him. But then that only occurs if you trust in him and believe that he really did rise. The resurrection is for those who believe in him and follow him. So there's no place for the person to stand on the sidelines and wait to find out for sure if Christ rose from the dead, and then and only then say, yes, he did rise from the dead. Okay, I believe in him. Or wait until we meet him face to face at the judgment seat and say, he did rise. Now I believe in him. We have to decide ahead of time. Then and only then does it matter. You know, again, you all know I'm a sports fan. I've never forgotten it. After every major sporting event when I was a kid in school, the Monday morning, everyone's favorite team would be the team who won. Who knew? But there was always this pride and satisfaction if the team you liked won ahead of time. It's the difference between, did you always have that Michigan State shirt or only buy it at Goodwill after they lost? It's, did you know it ahead of time or not? And as trivial as that might seem, with Christ, we have to decide ahead of time that we're all the way believing in him, and that's our only hope. There's not a time later where Christ will be validated as the living and risen Savior, the judge of all the earth, and then we can throw our hat in on his side once that's all been shown to the world. No, we have to believe in him now when, from the world's perspective today, believing in Jesus would be considered a long shot. Those who don't trust Christ, and it's hard for us to remember that. If you've believed in Jesus for a long time, or maybe you tend to spend a lot of your time with Christians, you can forget that right now, I've mentioned this before, but whenever it's in the run-up to Easter, that's when the television news is, they'll do Easter specials, and they always seem to unearth some fossil or something related to biblical archaeology, because they know everyone's kind of thinking about Christianity with Easter around the corner. But when we get outside of our Christian circles, we have to remember, most people think that Jesus was a teacher who lived 2,000 years ago and has been dead that long. To say that you really believe that Jesus rose from the dead now, before he returns, that's putting yourself out there. But we have to believe it because it's our only hope for eternal life. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then one day we will all die. Then that's it. You know, not only does the Bible teach that we all die, it's an observable fact. Most of us, like everyone here, knows someone who dies, and usually you're a small child when the first person you know passes away in your life. Often a grandparent or even a great-grandparent sometimes. And then more people you know and love. And as you get older, more of the people you know who die are closer to your age. And it's a reality. And we need a remedy for the fact of death. And it may look foolish in the world's estimation to believe in a risen Savior, who the rest of the world says that doesn't happen. But we know for a fact that he did rise. And that's what gives us hope that this life that we have that's moving towards death for all of us isn't hopeless and pointless, floating on a planet three spaces away from the sun. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. We celebrate every Easter, and we should celebrate every day, really. But because of this, we do have that sure faith that all in Christ will rise, and that we have a future for us. Jumping a little bit ahead, actually, in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 51, he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, this mortal must put on immortality. When this perishable will put on the imperishable, and this mortal will put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'O death, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory?'" I just mentioned a couple minutes ago, it's the observable fact that people die. All of us die. We too. And there's no stopping it. All may die. But when we have the resurrection, when we receive our resurrection bodies, it's different. Because right now we have the perishable, which deteriorates. But the perishable, which deteriorates, will put on the imperishable. We will be changed. We will get resurrection bodies, as Scripture teaches. Those bodies will be unlike these bodies. Our current bodies don't last forever, but those resurrection bodies will last forever. Currently, our current bodies, as I said, don't last forever, and indeed, they break down, they change. Again, Scripture teaches, but it's also an observable fact. Very few people actually use stopwatches to measure their foot speed, but if you measured how fast you run at 25 versus 55 versus 85, there's a downward trend in speed, and that's a fact we can observe. But then even Scripture teaches in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon's writing and saying, you know, glorify God now, give praise to God now when you're young, before you are old. And then he explains what happens when you're old. When you're older and the men stoop lower and you're afraid of a higher place and you don't want to go out into the roads. There's terrors on the road. And that happens as people age. And rather than Ecclesiastes chapter 12, reading about these effects of aging would be sad, but it isn't. It fills us with hope because we know that we will one day receive a new resurrection body, a new resurrected body. It'll be different, just like the one Christ had on Easter morning. He died, but he rose. And as Scripture said, he will never die again. All of us, once we die, but then are raised, we will never die again. We don't need to die again. We will rise and be with him. Now, you say we will rise and never die again. On the surface, that sounds obvious. You can say, well, how would we ever die again? But Scripture teaches that those who are not in Christ will die again. Revelation 20, starting in verse 11, talks about the great white throne judgment. It says, "I saw a great white throne, him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled. No place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. The dead were judged from the things which were written in their books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And every was judged according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So we might say, well, of course, we only die once, right? But Scripture teaches, Revelation 20, that we will all appear before God, and those whose names aren't written in the book of life, those who haven't trusted Christ, will experience the second death of the lake of fire. And it said there also, you may have noticed, that death itself is thrown into the lake of fire. That casts meaning on verse 54 there of 1 Corinthians 15, where it says, death is swallowed up in victory. This means if we trust Jesus for our salvation, we have all reason to hope, and every part of our life can be filled with hope. There's no reason to ever be discouraged. There's no reason to doubt. I mean, there is day to day, but knowing the final result gives meaning to what we go through. And if we say we believe this, it should change our day-to-day life. We shouldn't be grumpy Christians, if you are. Maybe you're not anyway, but we should have a smile on our face. We should be joyful. I probably don't typically draw from fantasy literature, but maybe I will rarely this time. Sarah and I just finished reading through The Hobbit together by J.R.R. Tolkien. It's a great work of fantasy. It's a nice book to read, a good story. There's not any objectionable content. But what made me think of it all was a kind of a throwaway line in the book. Bilbo Baggins is the main hobbit, and they arrive at a town on their quest. He's with a bunch of dwarves. They're going to retake a mountain from a dragon. They arrive at the town near the mountain. And the leader of his group of dwarves is the grandson of the previous king of the mountain. And it's said that folks in the town near the mountain, they all sang songs. And they all, in their singing, they believe that all their songs and poems said that one day a descendant of the king would come back and defeat the dragon at the mountain. It's part of their songs, their culture, and their life. But then Tolkien kind of had this in as a throwaway line, and it went into the next chapter. And it said, but then the sentence was, but it did not affect their daily business much. Oh, okay, good. Your sworn enemy who's threatening your town, you live in constant fear of the dragon killing you, he's going to be defeated one day. It didn't affect their daily business much. And you think about the fact that we have death coming for all of us. And we have a sure hope of heaven, which means that even the stuff that we don't like in Ecclesiastes 12, about the inevitabilities of aging and not wanting to go to the high places, which means that you are more reluctant to climb ladders as you get older. All of that has hope. There's hope because we have a future in heaven. Would we say about us, but it didn't affect their daily business much? It should affect our daily business. It should affect and change everything we do. And again, that was what I came away with as I read that. Of course, you mock and laugh these fictional people who don't let this glorious hope affect their daily business, but the Holy Spirit convicts, holds up the mirror, and you realize, is this me? We sing songs about it. Certainly we could say it. If you notice, there's lots of doctrine in the Bible and lots of doctrine in hymns, but stuff like resurrection and heaven and these kind of themes and being with Jesus, those are in, well, the songs that we sing every week. But is it part of our lives? It should affect how we live because, again, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said it himself there. This is another part. It's a rather lengthy chapter of 58 verses, so you can bounce, a person can bounce all over. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 30, Paul's asking him, so if there is no resurrection from the dead, why are we in danger every hour? I affirm to you, brethren, by the boasting which I have in Christ, I die daily. If from human motives I fought wild beasts in Ephesus, what does it profit? And then he says, Paul says, if the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And really, that's the truth. If there's no glorious future in heaven, then good tasting food here is about as good as it gets. But we know we have something better. For believers, there is hope for the future, and it should affect our daily lives. And he wrote about that too. Verse 34 is of 1 Corinthians 15. Be sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning. Realizing that we have that future hope in heaven, and he's saying, don't keep living in sin. Live as though you have the future hope in heaven. Are you living that way? Again, one more thought. Paul wrote this in 1 Thessalonians 4. He talked about when someone dies, he told the people in the church, he said, don't carry on grieving like those who have no hope. Don't carry on grieving like those who have no hope. He told the Thessalonians to not be that way. They were to be different. And same for us. If we know a brother or sister in Christ who dies, it's certainly sad. And there will be tears. But the way we grieve is different from those who have no hope. It should affect our daily business. The fact of the resurrection of Jesus. The fact that there's a future resurrection with new resurrection bodies for those who trust Jesus. But as I said at the start, it's for those who trust Jesus. I mean, those of us who know and love Christ, who've been Christians, whether a short time or a long time, as I mentioned already, it should be affecting our daily business. It should really be making an impact in our lives. But if you don't know Christ, you need to become ready for that day. Take the chance now, while you draw breath, as they say, there's time. So trust in Jesus today. If you haven't, today is the day. But if you have trusted in Jesus, he said the future matters. Be sober-minded. Stop sinning. Live like today makes a difference. And live like you have a glorious future in heaven. It's more than just our songs. It's what gives us hope. Let's pray. Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. And even beyond that, Lord, your great power is also there, mighty to save us. Lord, may we live like we believe it, like this is affecting our lives. Lord, this is more than just words in a book. It's more than just something that might happen later. We've put all of our hope for our future in you. It's our entire life. Lord, may we live it so, honoring and glorifying you. Amen.
As we close today, if you would please stand, we'll sing He is Exalted.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise Him. Exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, for heaven His truth shall reign. Rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Christmas time.